Welcome to the Latin Wealth Podcast, a podcast dedicated to educating the Latino community about entrepreneurship, investing, and business.
Yo, what's going on, Latin Wealth family? Welcome to another episode to Wealth Wednesday. And today we're going to be talking about Apple once again. They've been getting hit with some more lawsuits, and we're going to jump into, you know, why that's the case, what's been going on with them, and really continue to talk about the future of Apple. And in addition, later on in the episode, we're also going to be talking about Kamala Harris visited Puerto Rico for the first time as a vice president. We're going to dive into why she was there, the reaction from the people of her going out there, and a couple other things. So, great episode today. Looking forward to this. If you can give us a huge, do us a huge favor, share this episode with one other person that needs to hear the Latin Wealth Podcast and that needs to consume this content and learn more about the platform. Not even about the platform, but the information that we speak about on the platform is what's most important. So if you have learned anything or if you are new to this platform, welcome. But go ahead and share this episode with one other person out there that needs to hear this. With that being said, Jeremiah, how you doing today, bro?
Doing good, man. We were just talking about being at the end of the first quarter, so time for goals. So hopefully, you know, people are where they need to be on their goals, and this conversation can help you move some things along. I know it's going to help me move some things along.
100%. I think that's a good point that you brought up. Maybe next week we can do part of the episode talking about Q1. What does it look like to review your goals? Because I think that is very important that, you know, even though at the beginning of the year that we may set our goals, but how many people actually review them, look at, you know, how far along were they, or, you know, if it's even something they want to continue striving towards. So I think that'd be maybe a good little topic next week. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's always good for us to come with the icebreakers and, you know, just being able to give that information, because I think a lot of people, we start off in January with the, you know, New Year's resolutions and different things. We have new goals, new things that we want to do, but then very rarely do people go back and visit them and, you know, assess where they're at. So I like it. Let's do it.
For sure. Let's do it. Absolutely. So with that being said, Kamala Harris, we're going to jump into this story first. Visits Puerto Rico for the first time as a vice president. All right, Vice President Kamala Harris arrived in Puerto Rico last Friday afternoon, again, to embark on her first visit in Puerto Rico, as I just said. And according to her office, the purpose of the trip was to highlight President Joe Biden's commitment to supporting Puerto Rico's recovery. All right, so this is all what's being stated by them, and we'll jump into Jeremiah already laughing, but we're going to jump into, I'm just reading what they're saying. Don't shoot the messenger. So they're committing to the support of Puerto Rico's recovery following the hurricane, earthquakes, COVID-19, the pandemic, with a special focus in promoting the administration's investment on the islands, infrastructure, and economic recovery initiatives. All right. So with that being said, the Biden administration has invested a total of $140 billion in Puerto Rico across multiple sectors, including education, disaster response, as Kamala Harris said in her speech. Now, before we dive into our opinions and whatnot, I was doing a little bit more research just about this whole situation, and they have like a whole article posted on whitehouse.gov, so the official website, kind of just like a briefing and a breakdown of why they went out there, where some of the spending is going towards, and some of the things that they accomplished, or the Biden administration has accomplished since being in office. And I just wanted to point this out. Since President Biden and Vice President Harris took office, Puerto Rico has added more than 100,000 new jobs that include construction employment, which is up by close to 30%. Unemployment is now at a historic low under 6%, which is true. I think it's hovering around 5.7%. And labor force and participation is growing to the highest level in more than a decade. All right, so it's a whole article. You guys can go ahead. I actually link it in the description of this podcast if you want to read it. With all that being said, what are your thoughts about this? And then we'll get into some of the people's reaction on the island to Kamala Harris pulling up to Puerto Rico. By the way, she was only there for 5 hours.
I mean, let's start with the most obvious. It's an election year. Biden is, I guess, primed to be the incumbent or prime. I don't know whether he said if he's going to run again, or maybe Kamala is putting her name out there. I've heard Michelle might try. I don't know. Heard different things, but it's an election year. Democrats got to try to catch up ground. Biden's been, I mean, he's been bashed, obviously, you know. Things happening. So I see it as number one, it's an election year. Number two question that probably most people are going to be asking is, why did it take you 4 years to visit? Once you guys initially were there, wouldn't you have been more close to the time of these events that you're saying you're supporting happening when you were elected in 2020? Wouldn't you have been closer, right? Because it, you know, you had a Maria, you know, you had the earthquakes, you had these things happening just years, a little couple of years before you were actually elected. So in 2020, when you became president, shouldn't that have been a focus? And then they'll say, obviously, there's the money is gone to whatever it's gone to, however, whatever. That's a whole nother subject, which we're gonna have to probably touch on later on. But and I think we touched on it quite a bit actually, with Dean when we spoke with him, because there's a lot of corruption in the Puerto Rican government. That's not the responsibility of the federal government, but you know, does the money get to where you're saying that it went to, or are you just checking off a box and it's a checkbox, right? And you've done that and said, yeah, well, we did it. We don't really care where it goes. So there's a lot to unpack inside of her showing up and only staying there for 5 hours. This is obviously going to hit close to home with you and me. I mean, with that being our background, right? For me, it's like, it's not, I don't know. I would say it's not sincere care that's really shown for it. That's what I would get. For me, I'm just going to be honest. I don't see it as authentic. I see it as politics as usual. And I think that, I think it's a little distasteful. That's just my opinion. But I mean, you know, there's money and you were laying out where the money went. I think we should do deeper investigations of where that actually went, though, because I think you go to Puerto Rico right now and educationally that it hasn't been seen. There's schools, I know schools that are closed. They had to close because they didn't have power. Schools, kids didn't have books. There was no running water in schools. So I question a lot of what they say that money went to. I don't know about you, Chris, but that's kind of my breakdown of it.
I mean, I definitely could agree with you. You know, the number that they threw out was $140 billion with a B.
Would it be?
That is a lot of
Where
money.
did that go, bro? Like,
It
where did
was
$140 billion, where did that go?
that is enough money to make a dent, or at least for us to see something,
Something.
you know. And I mean, again, look, this we're just going off of what is being said, and we definitely would love to do more research on where that money went. But I would love to have seen like a breakdown of specifically where it went. It just said, you know, they invested a total of $140 billion across multiple sectors, including education, disaster response. So it's kind of broad, like, okay, this is kind of where it went, but maybe what schools, what district, you know, how when you talk about investing into schools, what does that even look like, right? Is
Sure.
it teachers? Is it like, what is it, right?
Where's the itemization of the money that you spent
That's
on?
what
Give
I
me an
think would be really
itemized
dope to
list of
see.
where that money went. Because anybody, right, as an investor, is me dealing with people that deal with money and their investments, you have to give account of where that money went. You know, like to what allocation? Where did it go? What is it doing? What particularly is, you know, what part is doing well? What's not doing well? You can't just randomly say, yeah, I just gave money to this fund. Like you have to, you know, so it seems like the government would take that same initiative and give an itemized list of this went to this, this went to, and like literally just piece by piece where all of the money went.
Piece by piece, 100%. So, you know, there's people there that were supportive of her being there, but
Sure.
there's also people there that were protesting her being there. There was, I mean, people, you know, lighting up the American flags and, you know, doing what all types of stuff out there. But kind of funny, she went to go visit a house in Puerto Rico, and I guess this house, this family, they helped with their roofing and whatnot. And she walked out the home, and there is some protesters out there that was singing a song in Spanish, and it was basically, it was they were saying something negative about her, but she walked out and she was just like clapping, going along with the song because she didn't know what they were saying. But it was actually some protesters talking mess about her in this song. Kind of funny, but
That's, you know what? That's called being out of touch, right? That's
100%.
called not having a contact. That's not having, someone there that is connected or someone to walk you around that could have tapped you and been like, hey, that's not a good song, by the way.
That's not
You know,
good. Yeah.
it just shows ignorance, right? And
Yeah.
that's the whole premise of the entire visit. That's the thing. Like, that one moment is like literally the projection of what the whole trip is. It's kind of funny. It's weird.
You know, I would love, and who knows if we would ever get like a real answer from her, but I would love, you know, she was there for 5 hours. I would love to like ask her, like, yo, how did you feel going back to America? Like, did you feel like you made a dent, an impact? Like, how, like, really, how do you feel?
She would never answer
That's what I'm saying. She would
the
never answer
You're going to get
truthfully,
a political,
for
like, you're going to
sure.
get a political answer. You're not going to get a real
For
answer.
sure.
And I think that's the problem. I mean, for me, that's what I believe that she would do. I don't believe
I
that she
believe
would
it too.
tell you the truth.
I believe the truth. Yeah, I believe that as well, for sure. So yeah, interesting stuff. You know, I even think towards the end of the trip, I thought I had it in my notes, but she went to go meet with an investor that's from America, and they even maybe you've seen this, but you know, supposedly this investor has been campaigning for the Biden administration for a while. So there's a possibility that she was just there to meet up with him to raise some funds. That's, you know, these are all, you know,
You
things that
think
are being.
that's a possibility? You think that's just really what happened? And sh and you
I think
spin
that's.
your spin is going to this woman's house and all, but really you were there to pick up a check.
Yeah, pick up a check, 100%, 100%. I mean, 5 hours, did y'all even get a meal?
They didn't. No.
I'm saying.
And you can't be in PR and not eat our food, right? I mean,
Yeah.
I don't.
Crazy. So again, we're giving you guys this information. We're not D Democrat, Republican. We're not doing
Not at
that. We're not
all.
picking a side. We are just literally giving you our perspective as two Puerto Rican men, somebody coming into the country for 5 hours, and you know, this is what it is. So
Somebody wrote me and they were like, oh, I was looking at the podcast and I'm guessing that you guys are Republican. And I'm like, no, bro, not at all.
No.
I'm neither. Because if you brought up, you know, if we were doing this and Trump was in office, I had plenty of commentary about him
For
as well
sure.
and
For
his visit
sure.
to Puerto Rico.
100%.
So it's not, you know, I don't like either one of them. So like you said, we're not, I don't do party politics, right? We talk about wealth and we talk about the things that are, you know, affecting our community and affecting our people, and that's what that is.
100%. Something else that's affecting the people,
Everybody.
everybody, right? It's Apple, right? So, and I can't wait to get into this with you because I'm very I don't know. Some things in here just ain't sitting right with me. So, consumers sue Apple, taking a page from the U.S. Justice Department lawsuit, and basically the reason why they've been hit with a flurry of new consumer lawsuits is because they are being accused of the iPhone maker of monopolizing the smartphone market,
And this is
right?
after Europe as well. But like, you know, you go, remember, like Europe was first. Europe had their antitrust. I think it was Spotify or something with Europe, right? And now it's progressed. So.
Yeah, 100%. There has been at least three proposed class action lawsuits that have been filed since last Friday in California and New Jersey, basically saying that iPhone users have claimed inflated the cost of the products through anti-competition conduct. Let's get into this. All right, so this is interesting to me because when I read this article, the word consumer sticks out to me. Is it consumers suing or is it lawyers? Like my thing is, Do we really have a bunch of consumers coming together complaining about, yo, there's not enough competition out there? Or is it lawyers coming together like this is an opportunity for them to make money? This is a lot of lawyers, this is their business strategy.
Sure. No more than when they sit at playgrounds, right, and wait for kids to fall and then go to the parents and say, oh, you can get paid by the city for that,
Right.
right? Something very
100%.
similar. You got to look at the states that was initiated in, New Jersey and California. Those are
California,
really
yeah.
litigious states. Those are states that are happy to sue people, right? Which, not being like that, but just so happened to be Democratic states. I'm just stating facts. I'm not, however, whatever. I'm just stating this is just pure links, right? But let's talk about this. Are there consumers out there that are tired of Apple? I'm so torn, right? Because I don't like Apple, but then I got stock in Apple. So I want all you guys to keep buying it. I'm not gonna buy it, but I would like everybody else to keep buying it, right? So it's like I still want it to do well. So are there really consumers that are like sitting and complaining about Apple? Yeah, they probably complain, but they're not. Who's gonna go and sue Apple? Like you have to know, think about this from a consumer standpoint. What lawyer could you get that could be better than Tim Cook and Apple's lawyers? Kind of pointless, right? That's what I'm saying. So you have to understand it's not or what I think, and I'm agreeing with you. I don't know a consumer that's going to be that bold. I don't know someone that's going to go and sue Apple. Like you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, they tried there, but there were companies, like actual companies back in the day that sued Microsoft. And I think they actually won a piece of it with like the trust and things like that with Microsoft back in the day. But those were huge companies. It was multiple companies that had to do it. And it took like 20 companies to come together and do it. So for just to say there's just consumers, a group of consumers, I don't know, man. Yeah, I think it's lawyers, people trying to get paid. Do I agree that there and I don't even know if I even agree with the lawsuit. I don't think there's a monopoly on it. You have the choice. You want to do
You have the
Apple
choice.
or you want to do Samsung, which is the most popular Droid, right? I mean, it's your choice. No one makes you buy Apple.
And I was looking a little bit more into it. Some of the more complaints, some more of the complaints were like the Apple Watch is only really compatible with the iPhone, which is forcing consumers to buy an iPhone. To me, that's ridiculous.
Well, you wouldn't have so you wouldn't have the Apple Watch if you don't have a Mac computer or a Mac or an Apple phone, right? Because there would be nothing for it to connect to. I mean, they're like, oh, but I can just get service on the watch. Yeah, you could, but those messages are super little. Like, I mean, like it, they're like it, the stuff that they're saying doesn't make sense to me. I don't. It just doesn't sound. I don't know. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like something someone would like logically say. Let's
Yeah,
say.
100%. But I will say, blocking out competitors on the app stores, which we reviewed a couple weeks ago, to me that makes sense. That's crazy. Or, raising the prices of some of these apps, such as Spotify, that makes sense. I don't think that's right.
No,
But
that's wrong. But that's actual negligible or culpable activities that Apple is actually performing. Like they're actually doing it versus someone feeling a certain type of way because I don't know, maybe you feel not that smart for going and buying something that's extremely high and I don't know that, but that's kind of, I mean, that's on you, right? We always talk about due diligence. Do your due diligence. If the phone is not presenting nothing new, which we've stated here over several episodes, we talk about Apple. If nothing new is being presented, there's no update, there's nothing that actually warrants you buying a new phone. You don't have to buy a new phone. You don't have to buy these products. That's your choice.
For sure, 100%. Quick question for you. So Apple, maybe it's not a quick question. Apple is currently sitting at $172. It's about down 5% in the last month. Do you see Apple recovering back to, I think the all-time high was around 190 or 180, one of the two. Do you see it surpassing that all-time high once again?
I think
And
it'll
the reason
take
why,
time. Go
not
ahead.
to cut you off, the reason why I asked that is because, some of the recent episodes, as we're, talking about Apple, they've been typically been something negative that's been going on with the company. So in your perspective, you think it'll take some time for them to get back up there?
Yeah, it's gonna take time. Apple hasn't played fair, and by I won't say fair, they haven't played nicely in the sandbox of business. It's always been Apple and Microsoft. It was Jobs and Gates, right? That was the right. Neither one of them are there anymore, but the company still, it's that's how it goes. Microsoft played smart. They built relationships. Build relationships with Meta. They build relationships with all these different things that integrated their stuff, right? And then of course the biggest one was OpenAI. OpenAI then is connected with NVIDIA. So you have a pipeline basically of money that's going to run through Microsoft, which pushed them to be the number one company again, right? Apple has always kind of, like I said, alienated and excluded themselves. They're going to have to get more in the space of collaboration. They're going to have to get more in the space of being innovative. They lost that when Jobs passed. Right, like you lost that sense of getting in the weeds and figuring out things and creating grassroots relationships with people and growing the business and building new things. Apple got complacent because it's Apple and everybody buys our phones and we're the best and it doesn't matter, we're just the best. And so they've been bullying and doing these tactics for years, and now it's all coming, to fruition. And it's gonna take time, and it's gonna take them getting out of their own way and being honest with themselves that they're not number one anymore. They need to learn to build relationships and get better at doing so and be more innovative. We talked about this. I mean, sales on iPhones are down because it's not innovative. It's the same phone. You just keep coming out with the same phone. And you talk about, like, people talk about Joys, other than, like, Joys are steadily innovating. There's always something new with a new Joy, something new that it does. Like, you can't say that about, like, the past three or four phones. Nothing's happened. So that's what I'm saying. You got to get in, find some relationships, build some things up, get it, get that moving. The Google deal, I think that's something positive. Try to build that up, try to cultivate that, because obviously Google has distribution because you got to use the search engine. So that's what I'm saying. You got to build these new relationships and make it grow. It can get there. I think it'll take probably 2 to 5 years time.
100%. I see this will be my last point about this. I see Apple. It's an interesting time that we're in, right? You got these big companies, and like you said, it doesn't look like they're no longer number one. People are looking to other companies and other products for a different option. Case in point, Nike. We haven't spoken about Nike on here I don't think ever, but Nike is like, people are looking to other brands, right? And you see Nike not being as innovative with their products. They're releasing the same thing, retros and whatnot. And people are kind of getting tired of that. They want something new, right? They want a new type of running shoe and whatnot. I think it's similar with Apple. They're just retroing their phone. We got the retro, and there's nothing innovative about, what they're doing. So it's interesting, like these big companies, it's going to be interesting to see how they make adjustments and change.
Yeah, I think you gave a great example with Nike. The only difference with Nike is Nike's distribution is going to be different, right? Nike has distribution with its athletes, with the faces. Athletes are in various sports. They have those contracts with sports. Apple obviously has contracts with different companies for the Mac, for the comp, for the but as far as like the distribution and how it weeds its way into like the culture, Nike will forever be in the culture just because it's attached to people that are going to be in different
For
pieces of the
sure.
culture. So I think Apple, maybe they start focusing more time on, working on some faces, putting some faces with something. Maybe they need to stop relying on just the name and start aligning it with various different people so you can start to build a little bit more. That would be the thought process for me.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point because you do see Apple, you just see that Apple. You don't see any faces attached to it. It's not like Nike and a LeBron, or at one point it was Nike, Tiger Woods, you know what I'm saying? So that's an interesting point.
And they've yet to have someone that actually, like, in Apple, right? I mean, because I guess initially, I guess Beats was Beats. I thought Beats was like a, was that an Apple kind of brainchild kind of?
I think it was,
And then
yeah.
it split apart though, right? And so Dr. Dre and him, they split that apart and it's its own entity. So since then, you haven't really had anything, right? So there's no face for Apple. There's never really been a face other than Steve Jobs.
Good job, yeah.
He's not
Very
here.
interesting.
So who's taking over? Like Tim Cook's cool, but Tim Cook's not that type of person. He's tactical. He just wants
Tactical,
to be in the
yeah.
background. Look, I just run the company. So you have to have a face of someone that's out there actively, I'll give an example. Louis Vuitton, Arnault ought to be forever in debt, right, to Virgil, because what he did was pushed all those brands and continued, and then he
100%.
laid the groundwork for new people to come in and do that work. Nobody does that with Apple. Steve Jobs left, and it's just been done. There's
Been
nothing.
done.
Who's next? Who's actually going to come and say, "Hey, I'm going to take you by the horns. I'm going to go and I'm going to build these relationships. I'm going to show you how innovative Apple is." Like there should have been someone when the owner, when Mark Zuckerberg went and totally destroyed Apple's division headset, and it was all factual. There should have been someone to come back and say, "Hey, Mark, we heard you, such and such and such," and then they should have laid theirs out. But there's no one to do that, right? And that's a problem. I think they need to work on that. You want to get back to being number one, it's either that or you fall way far behind, because the connections now that Microsoft is building with the AI leg is, I don't know, that's infinite growth. I don't know if that'll ever stop. So they're going to have to catch up very quickly, or it's going to be might be impossible.
Good points, good points. So as always, we'll leave the links to these articles in the ship description of this podcast. Let us know what you guys think about this information. Please feel free to give us feedback. And once again, it would mean the world to us if you share this episode with one other person that needs to be in tune with these topics and this platform. And as always, it's the Latin Wealth family. We'll catch you guys next week.
Peace, guys.
Peace.